Hello and welcome to the Over Under Achievers. I'm one of your hosts, Knox McCoy, and joining me, as always, he just voted to ban TikTok. It's Jason Waterfalls. Would you have voted yay or nay, sir?
To ban or
yeah.
To keep?
Yeah,
to ban. I'm voting yes to ban.
Why? Like, particularly why?
Yes to ban, Esteban, Esteban wow. Ocon, Alpine, Alpine is French. That team sucks. F1.
I don't know what any of that means. You had me at Esteban, like Gloria. You want to respect Gloria? And I was like, yeah, that would be my rationale. And they'd be like, what does the senator from Tennessee do? And I would not have good reasoning. I, you know what? I would go like, if I was a senator, I'd be like, hey, I'm a vote to ban. Let me just leave you guys with this thought. What if we ban all social media? Boom. And I would just walk away and everybody'd be like, oh, but they wouldn't do it probably.
I think there just needs to be like a time clock. I don't know that any of these are worse than any of the other ones, but my gosh, does it seem like the TikTok people are all in?
Yeah, it is. It's a personality. It's a lifestyle. And I just want everybody to find their bliss, right? That's like hopefully not with like the agency of the Chinese government behind it, but hey, you know, I'm not here to yuck yums, right? Like, I don't know what some of the stuff I'm getting into. I kind of like one of the iconic Justin Timberlake movies. It's so iconic. I can't remember the name. Out of Time, About Time, something with time.
Just in Time.
Justin. Was it not named Just in Time? Because it should have been.
I actually think it was not named that, but
I'm going to look, but that should have 100% been the name. Justin Timberlake.
Time. It's just in time. It's just in. See, I can't say this. It's just in time.
It's a terrible
idea. The title
idea.
Of the film is, colon, nope, can't say that. The title of the film is In Time.
Do you know Oppenheimer's in that? Oppie's in that? I guess he's the bad guy? Before he's, you know, nuking people with bombs, he was taking all their time, I guess. I kind of like something like that, where it's like, you have your social media time on your wrist, and it's just like, this is it. This is it for me. Because I'm trying, like, have we talked about this? I feel like I might have mentioned this. I've just gotten off Instagram completely. And like, it's hard to talk about it without acting like you're trying to do a victory lap and be like, look at how great I am. I'm not doing that right now.
Okay. I hear that you're not doing it. It sure sounds like that.
But how else am I supposed to talk about it? I feel like that's a salient thing to talk about.
I don't know that you have to talk about it. Like, if you don't gamble, do you talk about not gambling? If you stop checking ESPN app every morning, do you ever tell anybody that?
No, but if I had been gambling and then a conversation comes up that's related to gambling, I do feel like I have to provide the context of, also, you should know I've done this and I'm not gambling anymore. So that kind of colors how I interact with this conversation.
What's worse, doing TikTok for hours and hours or me staring at my DraftKings, not a sponsor yet, app last night and trying to figure out how I was going to use a couple of boosts? And one of them was on Maxi Kleber over 0.5 three-pointers for the Dallas Mavericks.
Did he get one?
Yeah, I won that bet.
Look at that.
Was it worth it? Yes.
I see what you're doing. You're feeling like we're coming too hard at the TikTokers, so you're trying to be like, hey, we're actually pieces of crap too, which I think everybody knows. We are also pieces. Well, we're all pieces of crap together.
I am not feeling like we are coming too hard at the TikTokers. I am feeling like you're saying, everybody, do your own bliss.
Yeah.
Hey, quick update. I don't want a reward, but if there's a reward available, I stopped going on Instagram.
Yeah, I mean, look, if there's a reward available, I'll take any reward that's available. Fact. I will say I don't feel worse, right? I don't feel differently bad. It's just a different, there's a new vacuum, in my life that I have to fill, and I'm filling it, probably not in the best ways, but you know, I'm just feeling it more carpooling essentially during the season of life. So I don't know. Is that a net gain? I don't know. Jason, this is the week of the draft. This is one of the most sacred times in our personal calendars. I'm going to ask you how you're doing, but I know you're doing great because of this week.
I am doing absolutely fantastic, period. Let me just tell you what I've got on Thursday night at 7:00.
Oh, no.
And that is a youth baseball game.
Okay.
What is the policy, now that we've just chastised everybody for being on their phone too much, what is the policy on being at your kid's baseball game, but also definitely having headphones in and watching the NFL draft?
This is a great question. We're not, you know, this isn't an ADHD episode. We're giving advice, but it's spontaneous. And we're just going to go with it. I think it depends on the sport, right? If this is tennis or golf or solo sport where your kid is always in action, can't put the headphone, the AirPods in. You got to like be focused. But it's baseball, and you know, they're like active in the center of attention for 5% of a game. Oh yeah, you got to let those AirPods ride the whole time, my man. Like, who's pitching? Do we have someone on the hill who's throwing strikes, or could this be like a 4-hour game?
Little man is the number one pitcher this year.
Okay, is he going? Now that's a predicament for you, because if he's not in like a second base, left field, something, he's on the hill. You got to be watching and pay attention.
All right, here's the plan. So the game starts at like 7:15. The draft, even though it's probably going to start at like 8:15, 8:30, the number one pick, we already know, is Caleb Williams. Mm-hmm. Also, that might not happen till 10:15.
That's true.
Like, there's so much preamble, even when there's only one round on Thursday night. It might not happen until way late into the night. So I think I'm going to have enough space. The problem is I really want to watch 2 through 5, and I think there's going to be some trade activity. Spoiler alert, that's my prediction. A lot of trade activity this year, mm-hmm, in the first round. And I think that those are going to be the most compelling to watch, and then see how the dominoes ripple. That's how that saying goes.
It is.
And from there, that's where I got to keep my eye on it. Now, let's go back to the games. When I'm at a baseball or a softball game, I'm moving around and I'm listening to podcasts, but my eyes are on the game the entire time. Not on my phone.
What do we do? Are we pacing? Are we walking laps?
If they're on the right side of the field, I'm moving over to the right side fence. If they're on the left side of the field, I'm moving over to the left side fence.
Okay. Important point of clarification. Are you the dad who I've watched like with soccer and lacrosse will shift positioning to be like directly parallel to their child, so that they can shout out detailed instructions during the game?
Okay, you had me until the best part. I do not talk to my kids when they're on the field.
Yeah.
At all.
Do you cheer? Do you affirm?
I mean, yeah, I'll throw a thumbs up. Maybe they see it, maybe they don't, but yeah.
See, my situation is a little different. Though. Mine don't like it. They don't want it. With my mid-kid, eldest daughter, whatever, I don't know what to land on with that name. She, like, last year volleyball, she did a good play, and like I clapped, and I was like, yeah! And she looked at me, and she goes, no! Like she pointed at me and was like, no, don't.
But you know what the best part is? Then they can start paying rent.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. Dude, I'm sorry. I'm affirming you. You now have to give me money if you don't like that.
Thank you. I will stop if paid. Like the second, and I tell my kids, do you want to pay rent? Okay. Then me parenting you and cheering for you and loving you and holding you accountable to stuff is part of the game. So welcome to life. But yeah, I do not. Again, we've been over this many times, and we will continue to do it, because some of these parents, man, I'm going to get in a fight one of these days, just fighting a parent sticking up for their child because it's accosting a child on the other team, or it's yelling at, like, we had a not great ump the other night, and both coaches were starting to lose their mind. The parents were starting to lose their mind, and it's just like, what are we doing here? We don't, the kid's making $12 an hour. It's going to be okay. It really is.
And my thought is, the more you do this, the worse it's going to get. So yeah. Spin zone.
I bet this kid that's already nervous, being more nervous, I bet they're going to get the calls right. That's what I'm thinking.
You know, the problem is it's very Darwinian. And I understand, because when you have a shaky ref or umpire, if in a certain situation, if you bring animosity in reaction, you train that shaky umpire ref to not go against your team. So I understand the competitive advantage. But what I would just like to suggest is, what if both teams agree to aggressively affirm and cheer the umpire? Some people could get their druthers from it by being like, it's so obviously sarcastic that that's how they're getting their animosity out. But it's like, maybe they're oblivious and they're just like, God, I am doing a good job. I am like a pilot that landed a plane. I do need to be appreciated for that.
I am Sully.
Yeah. So Junior Waterfalls is not on the hill tonight.
I believe so. Yeah.
Oh, he is throwing. Okay.
Oh,
okay.
Tomorrow night.
So that is, that's tricky. That's tricky, man. We had a soccer game.
I should say
just got
first
moved.
Round of the draft night.
Yes. 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 Yeah. We had one scheduled out of town ish, for tomorrow night. And I was like, I'm just going to miss the first round, because the interesting thing with, for context for listeners, like without kids, or if like kids are too young, to be playing sports right now, something I've noticed is, in the generation of the phones, they're always like, they're unconsciously aware of whether or not you're paying attention to them, just like around the house, right? But especially at games, they're very aware on whether you're watching or not, and they're checking a list or making a list, checking it twice kind of deal. So my response has been, no phone at the game. I'm staring at you the whole time. You cannot escape my games.
Your kids can't have it both ways, though, man. They can't scold you for cheering them on and being engaged, yeah, and then also check a box that says that you're not engaged, but they want you to be engaged, but then, like, they're putting you in a box, man. You don't have to live in that box.
Yeah, first time parenting, huh? Like, that's the gig, baby. That is the gig.
No, not me. I don't live in that box. I'll tell you this right now. I paid for the box that they live in. They don't pay for a box to put me in.
No, I do. Part of it is, like, I just want to pay attention to have a reference point, but I understand they assess themselves by kind of pinging off my perspective and, like, Ash's perspective on how the game went, so we can bring new insights. And if I'm just like, I just looked up twice, like, when you missed the goal. So
I will say volleyball is much different than baseball or softball. That's a quicker moving sport that they may have been involved. If little lady is playing third base and it's four straight walks,
yeah,
like, maybe on the third walk, because there's a pass ball, there's going to be something that she was actually involved in on the softball field versus volleyball. If on court, could be involved in any play at any time.
God, you know what we should do? Hey, Sharts, it's Knox and Jason, and we are creating a primer for new parents, and we're going to rate, like, the attention required at certain sports, because you can kind of mail it in at volleyball, honestly, like, unless your kid's on the court. And then when they get on the court, there's just a lot of dead time. And, like, as a caveat,
that's literally the opposite of what I was just saying.
No, I know, but, like, then they're like, soccer, you got to be very invested. You got to be, like, very in on it. So I think volleyball and softball are probably more similar than you think.
Oh,
but
wow.
A sport like basketball or soccer, you got to be watching the whole time, because there's nuances, baby.
Yeah.
I just want to say to the volleyball gods out there, do we need so many buzzers? Do we need so many whistles? And do they have to be so loud? I'm not like a, I don't know what it's called, like a noise sensitive, loud noise sensitive person. It's like a designation. That's not me. I just don't like loud noises. I don't think that makes me special.
Do they ramp up that horn for volleyball? Because I feel like it's not that loud in basketball,
buddy.
In the same size courts.
I don't know if it's smaller gym, but, like,
yeah, pal?
It's a different. You can go to different gyms. It's different volumes. Some people have, like, a heavy thumb, so it's like, you know, at our home court, it's like, and I'm like, okay, I can deal with that. Don't love it. Put my AirPods in. Whatever. Some gyms we've been to, it's like, it's like they're summoning the Zamboni during the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's too much. And the referee whistles, they're just riding them. And it's like, I think we all know what happened here. We don't need to whistle every single time. It's just too much. It's just too much. You know, it's not too much, though. The NFL draft this week. I'm so excited. We're going to start to cut. And instead of, like, picking things that we're going to, like, choose to start to cut, I'm going to pitch you some scenarios that I think are likely to happen. And you can tell me, do you want to start them, sit them, or cut them? Does that sound good to you?
I love it.
Okay. First up, are you going to start sit cut the prediction that Nick Saban and Pat McAfee will have an awkward interaction during the telecast?
I am absolutely starting this. I think they have not spent enough time together. I think that Bill Belichick, is he involved with the Pat McAfee, or is he involved with the regular cast?
He is involved with the Pat McAfee, which I did have to fact check, because I was like, there's no way that's true. And I got down to a CBS Sports report and I was like, oh my gosh, I don't understand this.
So you're telling me Pat McAfee is going to be interacting with Nick Saban and Bill Belichick? I'm all the way in. And the level of awkwardness, I think, at times is going to be incredible. I'm really hoping that it's like Saban on his right and then Bill Belichick on his left with Pat. And then he's just like, they're just staring at each other, and he's just like going back and forth. Like, come on, who's going to interact with this? Huh?
Look, man, do you think Nick Saban knows who Pat McAfee is? Is he aware of Pat McAfee?
Yes, because Pat McAfee, isn't Nick Saban from West Virginia, and Pat McAfee kicked at West Virginia? So
that's
there's connections there for known quantities.
I think I'm most fascinated by it's definitely, you know, a styles make fights kind of deal, where Pat brings a little different flavor to the table than Nick does. I also am fascinated with alpha coaches who go from the sidelines and the programs to, like, there's six people on this booth and we got to share time and talk. So I can see a lot of, like, Nick staring at Pat McAfee being like, what are you doing? And, oh, by the way, what is this Easter Island looking mother, father, AJ Hawk? Does he talk? Does he ever interact with us, or is he just here for decoration?
What's going on? Is AJ invited to this? Do we know if Pat's on the main broadcast at the main desk with Mel and such, or is Pat doing his own cast?
No idea. I'm assuming he's doing his own cast. But I will just say, the second you said, is AJ Hawk involved? If he's not, now I'm on AJ's side. He's a mainstay. Why cut him out now?
You know? I was on the ESPN app, as referenced earlier in the episode. I was on the ESPN app the other day, just checking scores. And then, you know how there's usually a video at the top, right, when you open it? And it said, like, Pat McAfee and someone else discussing this. But there was three heads on the screen. There was Pat McAfee. I can't remember who the guest was. It might have actually been Nick Saban or Bill Belichick. But it was, like, McAfee on the left, the guest in the middle, and then AJ Hawk's face on the right. And in the description and in the caption, there was no reference of AJ Hawk at all. Like, I think they just don't acknowledge him. Like, he shows up to work and he does a good job, but I think he's just always sitting there. And then Pat's like, all right, now we're live. And then AJ's like, all right, cool.
He's like a mute Creed from The Office, where, like, he's there. He's always there. No one knows, like, why he's there, but he never, like, interacts. I feel like that's a product of the AI transcription tool, because it doesn't put a speaker name if you never talk. So it's like it has nothing to transcribe because you didn't speak into it. You brought up Bill Belichick, who, again, will be with Pat McAfee, a co-host on the Pat McAfee show for the draft, which is 2 months ago. If you told me that sentence, I just don't think I would have believed you. I want to know, will you start sit cut the idea of Bill Belichick? I'm going to give you options. Bill Belichick, when shown highlights of Ladd McConkey, he'll either be licking his lips, or he'll go, like, from 6 to midnight, if you know what I'm saying. Like, which one are you starting sitting or cutting?
Well, I'll go with the licking of the lips for that choice. Thank you so much for those options.
Yep. I just wanted optionality for you, you know?
Are you a Ladd McConkey college player fan? Because the next question is, are you a Ladd McConkey NFL prospect, regardless of how it actually ends up? Because I got to say, he had some big plays. I get that he's quick, whatever. But I'm just not a fan. I don't understand how everybody is like, this is the most underrated. You get a steal when you take Ladd McConkey. Like, if you get him in the sixth round, yeah, that's a steal. If you take Ladd in the first, second, third round, I think that's over drafting. Am I crazy?
You're not. Let me just assure you really quickly. You are not. I've seen him mocked in the first round, which it was instant. Okay, this mock draft does not make any sense. I think this is a complicated topic, and I'm glad you brought it up. I'm a little shocked that you brought race into this, but let's just, like, go ahead and lean in. He does have the Hunter Renfrow disease of, like, short, white, fast, can catch. So
he drops so many balls. Where are we getting this can catch thing from?
Fair. Comparing I don't know that Hunter, he can catch. I
comparing him
catch.
To Hunter Renfrow is not fair, because Hunter Renfrow caught the ball, like, all of the time.
Okay.
And then just got laid out Brandon Stokley style, another white receiver. I'm not bringing race into this. You can compare him to whoever you want. Marvin Harrison is incredible. I would draft him number one. Ladd McConkey is not an elite prospect and should not be taken before the third round.
No, I don't disagree with you at all. I think there is, you know, just like in movies and storytelling, there's, like, different tropes we fall into. I think with sports, and especially with drafts, there are different, like, athlete tropes we fall into. And maybe it's not Hunter Renfrow disease. Maybe it's something like, I don't know, if like Jason Sehorn-itis, where it's like white short receiver in the slot. That's probably Julian Edelman. So, like, that's good. And don't get me wrong,
Kevin Hogan, Danny Amendola, like, this is why we're saying the Bill Belichick, Ladd McConkey, right?
Yeah.
So is Bill Belichick racist? Not is Jason racist? For the record, I'm not bringing race into this.
Sure. Right. Yeah. No. Totally. I only reference this because the meme of Bill Belichick, like, thirstily watching wide receivers has been around for a minute, and Ladd McConkey does seem to be, like, the I hate to use the word climax of this meme, but that's just what it is. But I just do think, if you're not watching Bill Belichick watching highlights of Ladd McConkey as a producer, you've missed an opportunity. Is what I'm saying.
I would rather watch Bill Belichick watch highlights of Marvin Harrison Jr. than Ladd McConkey every day of the week, because he's going to love everything that guy puts on the field.
Oh, 100%. I did, not to defend Ladd McConkey. From what I've heard locally, there's some ties kind of close here where I am. Supposedly he's a really great kid, good guy, like takes the opportunity to like help people out. So that's good. I just don't think he should be in the first round, and that's not spicy at all. That's just reasonable, you know?
Totally agree.
Okay. Do you think we will, do you want to start sit cut? There being like, I don't know, a 10-minute window of confusion at a player shown with a woman, and we're not really sure if it's mom, sister, girlfriend.
Okay. I think we reached the peak of that with over the last couple of years with Aiden Hutchinson and Will Levis.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm going to say no this year. I'm going to take the under because I think it's too much to have that goodness. I don't think it's fair of us to expect that of ESPN again. Like, we need to cool off and wait a couple of years. And by cool off, I mean not because the people were hot or anything. That's their choice.
Sure.
I'm saying cool off because they gave us what we wanted multiple times. So this is a situation where, let's be very clear, were there attractive people on the screen? I don't know. I can't see like that, right?
Mm.
But that being said, there was definitely some confusion on what relationships were for a couple of years here. So I just don't think we're going to get that again because it's too much to ask.
I like the take of like, so I don't know if these people, I don't know if these people are hot because I was yelling at my son to go like to use the sinker more, you know, to use the slider as the out pitch. So I think that's a good strategy by you. I disagree with you completely with respect. I think in a lot of ways, the people see this for what it is, and it's kind of a low key chill way to like do the Bachelor experience without the exposure. Like the heat of the exposure. So like you can go make a great appearance at the draft and like you can like boost your social media following. You can boost your cultural awareness just like that without all the lift. So I think it's one of my favorite things that we get. You know, the Masters, it has, it's like the certain like hallmarks and temples that you build the experience around. Same for this. Having the confusion is like, is that mom? Is that sister? Is that girlfriend? Are they still together? What's going on here? I love it. I love it so much.
Well, was it CeeDee Lamb? Who was it that ripped the phone away from a person that was sitting next to them?
Yes.
When
one of the-
that now that
that's what I'm talking about, man. Like what? I'm so glad you brought that up because it was him and a girlfriend. He had two phones. She reached for one in I guess his left hand, and she got it, but he grabbed it back immediately. Not in a way of like Bill Belichick might be calling me, but more in a way of like, that's a phone you don't need to know about, which it's really good.
And man, you know, you're on television, like just don't set yourself up for that situation. But were also you,
like, do you miss the COVID draft when everybody's at home and we got to see?
I do. And not because of COVID. Okay.
Sure.
For the record.
Yeah. Caveat. That's a good caveat.
Anti-COVID. But I think that having the multiple different environments. Because do you remember, I'll never forget this until the day that I don't remember it. Do you remember when Joe Thomas was fishing?
I do.
Like they had like one camera on like a different boat or something filming him.
Like
it might have been on the same
boat.
But I like to think that ESPN had to rent a boat to go watch Joe Thomas fish.
That's right.
I want more of that. I want somebody bowling. Mm. I want somebody doing archery. I want somebody at an axe throwing thing. Like, let's get some sponsorships in here, you know? Like tired being in the green room. Wired, having somebody doing the red ball drop at Dave and Buster's that I have made every single one on before multiple times.
Look at you.
Absolutely. I know how to time it perfectly. But I want somebody on that going bup, 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 like that. And then we get to watch them. Now we've got Dave and Buster's sponsorship. We've got somebody eating wonton tacos at Applebee's, drinking a Brutus. Boom. Like, why are they not hiring me for this? It's so obvious.
I don't know. Everything you're laying out is incredible, especially with the flyby of like, I can do the red ball challenge, no problem. Now, for context, you're talking about like the one like with 50 red balls.
Yes.
You have like a minute.
Yes.
And like it's a parade of
buckets.
I don't know how to say this, orifices
going,
to no, go.
They're just clearly buckets going around in a circle.
Sorry, it's been a minute. And you've done a flawless round? You've done a
multiple
flawless
times.
Round with that?
Yeah, probably four.
Look at you.
Now I'm not saying
not being on Instagram.
Can't
you bragging about the red ball orifice captaincy. Look at us.
I can't walk up to the machine and just do it first time.
Sure.
Have I come pretty close first time? Yeah. It'll take three or four times, but yeah, I can absolutely do it.
Do you remember? So maybe we talked about this before. Used to, before kids, before marriage, we would like make a whole weekend out of the draft.
Oh yeah.
We would make t-shirts. We'd go
called
places.
The weekend.
Do you remember the weekend draft we watched, the one with Mike Williams? when he was inexplicably flanked with like all white children, and we were like, what is happening here? And like one of the kids like tried to grab the phone, and he like like shoved him out of frame. This was one of my favorite draft moments ever, because there was so much happening. No one was talking about it. But to your point, it wasn't in the green room. I would like a return to the COVID era draft. Again, emphasis on not the COVID. But it was like, it was so dour and like sad because of COVID that like we didn't get to celebrate it. But I would like, you know, in Hunger Games, like every whatever, 25 or 75 years, you do a quarter quell. I want like every 15 years, we do a draft at home. And like everybody has to stay at home, and we do the cameras, and we just build up to it. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Or let's get a couple of rivals together. Let's get Jaden Daniels, where did that come from? Jaden Daniels and Drake May in the same Dave and Buster's playing like air hockey. And here comes the second pick. And then this is a test. You only get drafted if you're the next one that scores.
Okay. I mean, the Top Golf is right there already, because you know, it's been like the news that. With the Commanders. Look, I've seen some criticism of that. I think that's hilarious.
What happened?
Like the Commanders brought out all the quarterbacks, I guess most of the top prospects, and they just went to Top Golf because Drake May was like, I did pretty well. JJ hit it pretty good. I didn't hear anything about Caleb. I don't know if he spoke to it. I think that's a great idea. Let's just Top Golf this thing, you know? Okay. Let's do, will there be an elaborate Eli Payton comedy bit? Start, sit, cut that.
Sit.
Oh, wow. Here's body language thing. Is not good on Eli and Payton right now.
The bits are not bad. The problem is I enjoy them more than I should.
Ah, okay. Every is it like the time. Corona Bucket commercial with Carmelo? Where I'm like, Eli's doing the best acting I've ever seen, to be honest with you.
It's actually probably the worst acting.
No! No!
But I believe it every time. So is
when
it
Carmelo
the best
says, did you order those? And Eli goes, what? No! I just put them down here, I guess.
I can't tell what my relationship is with Eli anymore. I got to say, because him and Peyton are everywhere. That's why I'm sitting this. We don't – the exposure and the amount of things that Peyton has his hand in is like getting to an astronomical level of variety. And that's wonderful and good for him and everything, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Live your bliss, like we said. There's a lot of dad jokes. And the fact that I'm waiting for them – sometimes predicting them, but then every time just giving a chuckle of that was good. That was good. And then I'm like, oh gosh, I'm over the hill. I mean, 50 is the new 40, but for comedy, I'm over the hill on this one.
I never would have pegged you as the guy pushing back from the table and being like, no, I'm good on dad jokes, sir. No more.
That's my problem. I can't. Like maybe that's my TikTok. I think they're all funny, genuinely. Yeah. Now, I mean, they're silly and they're not the best highbrow comedy of all time, but I just every time they do these little bits or they get mad at each other or Eli's on the Corona commercials, he's so much better than Tony, because Tony like knew what he was doing, you know? Like Tony's like,
he's too aware.
Oh, I'm getting paid to be here. Yeah. Eli's like, all right, Eli, get in the scene. You ordered a bucket, but then let's see how Carmelo reacts to that.
And he's like, but what's my motivation? And they're like, oh God, peer pressure. There's a passion for Corona. He's like, great. Thank you so much. There's almost, you know how it was before Bill Murray got a little weird sexually, like where like you could say anything about Bill Murray and it'd be like, I believe that. That's a crazy story about it. There's almost like an Eli's getting to that point, you know, of just like, I don't exactly know what's going on here. I think the downfall for Tony Romo was the Skechers sponsorship.
Okay.
I don't understand that. I don't understand that connection.
Well, the Joe Montana did too. The check cashes with Skechers because my gosh, they are everywhere. See, here's my problem. I'm not a Skechers guy.
Okay.
There's a couple of Skechers that I like.
Oh, interesting. Little I don't think I can be a Crocs lovers kind of deal. Here.
I don't think I can be a Crocs and Skechers guy. I don't think that works.
I do want to. Man, I'm sorry. I feel like we should have said this. Corona, Skechers, not a sponsor. Top Golf. Dave and Buster's, Applebee's, not a
sorry,
sponsor.
Sorry.
None of this
legally,
is a sponsor, everybody.
Yeah, legally.
I'm so sorry. So are you gonna cross the picket line and be a scab for Skechers?
I don't think I can.
I don't even know if that made sense, that reference, but
yeah, it does, because I've nailed them to a wall multiple times. I don't think that I can, but I need some innovation from another brand. I need Brooks or Under Armour. Brooks is incredible. They have shoes that fit my feet perfectly.
Okay, suddenly stop everything. I don't care about the draft anymore. I need to learn about your shoe hierarchy. What are you wearing? What are you like lustful for? And what are you like? Absolutely not. Because like, are you a Hoka? Are you an Allbirds? Like, what are we thinking right now?
There is obviously a lot of Crocs involved.
Sure.
I'm talking clogs with the soft inside, which I have on right now. Yep. That's in the house shoes. Those don't leave the house.
Yep.
There's outside camo Crocs that are the clogs. We've got
and
Crocs.
The thought there is like, if I need to be outside, but I don't want anyone to see me, these are my, these are those clogs.
That's correct. That have I taken a picture of my feet with them on and send them to people and say, yeah. I can't find my feet? Yeah, I have. So it's all relative. Then we got Crocs. We got flip-flop Crocs. We got Crocs that are like the slip-ons, more like a Toms type situation.
Sure.
We got those Crocs. Then I try to be an Under Armour because I'm kind of a brand whore. I like to have minimal number of brands in my life.
Yeah.
Under Armour just doesn't make shoes that feel good for my feet or my back.
They don't.
It sucks because I do like some of the designs. So I went and got fitted, and Brooks is my match.
Brooks,
so,
we're going yeah. Brooks. Did yeah. you consider Ectalon or any of those? Like
I
can,
I went
brands?
In there open, to be honest. I went in there saying what shoe is going to, and if they said Reebok, I was going to walk out. So that okay. is the bottom. You will not find me wearing Reebok shoes at any time at all.
That's
and Adidas is right above
you.
That. I cannot stand okay. Adidas almost in anything, and I cannot stand Reebok in anything as well.
If they're like, sir, we have some Oshkosh Bagoshes. They're getting into shoes. I don't even know if they are into shoes, but like, would yeah. you wear those?
Depending on what they look like, yeah.
My son got some Reeboks, like all whites, and I was like, ooh,
sorry
Reeboks,
to hear
buddy.
That.
And he was like, you don't understand, man. You don't understand. I was like, I don't. I'm into, I've got some Adidas Light Racers. They're just like pure slip-on. I wear
See,
them everywhere.
When we get to the point where we're saying the names of the shoes, yeah. that's where I don't know about that. I just don't know.
Oh,
that
I'm life. Sorry. I'm sorry. I got judged, Mr. Crocs. I'm sorry. I got judged.
Yeah, it's
Mr.
Crocs that are
Crocs
that are clogs. Like, I don't know that this is the Crocs Super Light 2.0. Real
Do Crocs
tree.
Have different like delineations of are they like this is Croc Outdoor? This is Croc Outdoor XR. Or are they just all Crocs? I feel like they're just all Crocs. So you
no,
get out of your ivory
Crocs.
Tower of specification.
There was a Pringles boot collab recently with Crocs.
What?
Did you see this? It's got a Pringles holster in it. We've gone off the rails.
The Pringles holster is interesting. There used to be a Twinkie holster that Walmart sold that Ashley and I thought was the funniest thing ever.
For your belt or for your shoes?
For your belt, actually. But okay, I can see like...
This is a Pringles holster on the Croc boots for your shoes.
I feel like it has to be in the heel, right? It can't be on the sides. Like it has to be in a... collapsible like this
sides.
Is my this is my formal heel, but if I'm hungry there's Pringles in there, and then it goes to like a nice sensible like a slip-on kind of deal.
Oh man, I am convinced you are not prepared for the picture that I'm about to show.
Oh, see that you can't go sides. That's absurd. You're
look
gonna
the,
get all kinds
look
of
at the
vermin
Pringles
and
back
animals.
Here
why it I love the Axios why it matters.
Look at the wings. Pringles,
do
they
you
give you wings. Just kidding. That's Red Bull. Please don't sue me.
Part of me is like, if someone wearing this was shoved into traffic by an onlooker, would you want to prosecute them in a court of law? I don't think I would. I'd just be like, hey.
I would.
I think
if they
I'd be
push
like,
them
hey.
Out of jealousy, then
no.
I understand.
I'd be like, the human race doesn't need this anymore. You know, the world is not ready for this. That's absurd. Okay. Are you going to start Sit Cut showing Kirk Herbstreit with newly blonde frosted tips and so blonde that it looked like he forgot to say when at the salon?
Why are you saying, why are you doing this?
What do you mean? It's my favorite thing of like Kirk not knowing how to calibrate the blonde color. Cause like at the beginning of every college football season, it's like, whoa, Kirk really got heated up. And then like, so I feel like we're off season and he's going to race it back now. So I feel like it's definitely going to happen.
But that, I think the problem is that Kirk, when it's not the season, gets pretty freaking tan.
Okay.
He goes like, gosh, just lost the name. What's the name of that old guy that was always like George Hamilton?
George Hamilton. Yeah, very yeah. good. Good pull.
Yeah. Thank you. I bet super relevant for this audience.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that reference. I think that Kirk off season goes George Hamilton because he knows he's just going to be working so much. And that's what makes at the beginning of the season, just like you said, and in the off season, it makes the frosted tips look frostier.
I like so you're Kirk saying there. It's not really the fault of the salon. It's like the skin calibration of Kirk bringing to the table.
Yes. He finally gets to get out of the booth and go get some R&R and some sun. And
let
so,
me just confirm this. We're aligned on Kirk Herbstreit as a tanning bed guy, right?
No. During the season or year round?
That's the thing. I don't think you turn off. I think you're in for penny, in for pound, year round, baby. Okay.
I can't say no. I retract, but I don't think
new option is in the chat. Is it a bronzer? I don't know how to say this. Rub on product. I don't know. I'm apologizing in advance, so you can't be mad at me for saying these things.
Breaking the fourth wall. Because all of this is just shtick and none of this is true. Just kidding. We're just being ourselves. I like it when you trip yourself up, but then still acknowledge it before, like, I don't know how to not be awkward.
Forward momentum, baby.
But then just say it. Like, you didn't change. I'll think of you thinking something, and I'll be like, I might want to reword that. And then I have to pause, think, and reword it. You're like, out loud, you're like, I should probably reword this, but I'm not.
I got 1.5 seconds to figure this problem out. And
I don't think rub-on is the problem when you're talking about bronzer. I would say rub-on.
What is it called? Keep going.
Rub in.
Olivia Wilde played Justin Timberlake's mom in Just in Time. The movie we're renaming.
Are you looking at the cast as well? Because Matt Bomer
played a guy named Henry Hamilton. I was earlier, and I was like, "Whoa!" The bigger shock was Johnny Galecki.
Johnny Galecki, there it is,
my man.
I kind of want to go back and watch the movie now because I want to see what Johnny Galecki was. I'm so mad at Justin Timberlake on so many fronts. We gotta discuss Justin Timberlake.
Alpha Dog. We're gonna do an Alpha Dog rewatch in the summer.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Justin Timberlake, man, like, what could have been?
You know what? Here's my big theory about Justin Timberlake. Okay, everybody freaking buckle up. Justin Timberlake was like, I'm gonna be an actor. This is gonna be good. I'm gonna be into it. Whatever. And then he got to Alpha Dog. And it's not really a substantive role, but it's pretty intense. Emil Hirsch is there. Good actor.
Great actor.
Justin Timberlake got on set and shared a scene with Ben Foster, who in that movie is going not just 100 miles an hour, 100,000 miles an hour. And I think Justin Timberlake was like, this is No Country for Old Men for me. I can't cook at this level.
They broke him.
It completely broke him. Watching Ben Foster take a dookie in someone's living room that I think belonged to Justin Timberlake, I just think he was like, I can't fight at this level.
And Emil Hirsch, when you've got those two people on set, you can't recover from that.
Mileage may vary on my Emil Hirsch. It's supposed to be the literal alpha dog, the titular alpha dog of that movie.
I understand that. It's still good acting. And he's
4'6". I have some issues with that. But, you know, whatever. What are we talking about? I don't remember what we're talking about.
You're talking about Kirk. So
is he a bronzer rub-on guy? Yes or no? Answer the question.
I think it's rub-in bronzing, by the way. I think you're pretty close. I think that what Kirk does is says a comment when he's getting his makeup done before going on camera and says, oh, I was watching TV the other day and I think someone had a little bit bronzier makeup. That would be cool. And then that puts the pressure on the makeup artist. But Kirk never asked for it to be bronzier. Kirk never recommended. He just said that he saw that and he liked it. And then whatever may happen from there happens from there.
I don't disagree with that. And I'm finding that I think what I was doing, it's just called bronzer. So like bronzer rub in or on or whatever is like an ATM machine. It's redundant. So that's my mistake.
No, that's not true. Bronzer is the product.
Yeah.
Hold on. Now I'm thinking about lotion. Did you lotion your arm? Yeah. But you can apply lotion. You can put on lotion.
But I don't think it's that as nuanced as like...
You can rub in lotion.
See? You fell into the trap too, didn't you?
No.
Freaking Jumanji style. You're stuck in this jungle with me now.
I'm being mature.
We're definitely aligned on Kirk Herbstreit. Do you think there's going to be over or under? This is not a Starsky cut. Just like over or under 2.5 Torture Poets Department references.
Unfortunately, over. And there's going to be Travis and Taylor commentary here and there. Here's my twist on this one.
Okay.
How many Taylor Swift references does Lewis Reddick make? Because I love Lewis.
Okay. Man, I wish you could go on DraftKings and be like, Charlie on Survivor, Taylor Swift references in the episode tonight, plus Lewis Reddick, Taylor Swift references over under 9.5. And I'll take the over. I'll take the over.
And they're all Charlie.
Yeah. And he carried it. He completely carried it. Are you going to start to cut the idea of Aaron Rodgers doing a call-in interview when they draft like Brock Bowers, and he's going to say something strange, controversial, or political?
Is he still up? Didn't Robert F. Who's the Bobby Kennedy? Which Kennedy is? Do we know?
I love when you act like you're not super into politics. I love that the listeners don't know like how into politics.
Is
you
it
are.
JFK? Is that
it? Is it is? He's back again, going for another term. Greedy.
Is Rogers officially out of being the VP?
Yes, he is not the running. He RFK Jr. named his running mate. I can't remember her name. But it's not Aaron Rodgers. I can't confirm. Right.
Well, then I think it's less. I think I'm going to sit this one. I'm going to sit this one. I'm not going to cut it.
But do you think it's going to happen?
I don't know that Aaron Rodgers and ESPN have the best relationship now because of the Pat McAfee stuff. So fair. I think that that Aaron Rodgers is not going to be calling in. So I'm actually going to cut it. I'm going to officially say Aaron Rodgers will not be interviewed or call in as part of the broadcast.
I can see Pat McAfee sneaking him in and being like, hey, Coach Belichick. Hey, Pat. I'm so excited to have Brock Bowers on the field. He's like chemtrails. Can't ever explain where they are, but they're always there, always open.
And bronzer, you rub it on.
Yeah. Or do you? I don't know. Let's go. I think last one. Will there be over or under?
Here we go.
Why did you do this? Good one. Analysis of a draft. Will there be over or under 2.5 references to JJ McCarthy doing meditation?
Do you understand where I'm at on JJ McCarthy, or do I need to do the whole thing again?
Would you like to answer the question, or would you like to equivocate over or under 2.5 references?
Thank you for asking me. I appreciate it. I would like to equivocate. What if somebody?
I'm slamming the over.
Are you filibustering right now? To be clear, and here's 7 reasons why I am filibustering right now. It has to be over. It just depends on when he drafts it, because the more time he doesn't get drafted, which I'm on record as saying should happen and I believe will happen, JJ McCarthy, I don't remember where the line is right now on DraftKings, not a sponsor, FanDuel. What's the other one? Points Bet that got bought by Fanatics. Bet MGM. I'm just trying to list them all and then maybe we pick one up.
Okay. Yeah.
That's definitely going to work.
We definitely will.
The farther he goes, quote unquote, down in the draft, the more likely this over is. I think his line is like 4.5 or 5.5. I'm taking the over.
And by over, you mean?
I'm taking the over on JJ McCarthy. So I'm taking the over. Over meaning like not in the first 5 picks, not in the first 4 picks. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the references of the meditation will be over, because you know what happens on these desks every time is that the farther guys fall, they only had the same material for like the top 10, top 15 guys, and it's pretty limited. It's the other guys that they've got to have more material for.
Yep.
So the longer it goes, the more they have to repeat the same things.
You get in the B-side stuff of like, I heard he wanted to do a rap album, so maybe that's cool. It's going to get kind of wonky, some of the stuff they have to talk about. I don't understand why JJ McCarthy doesn't have a deal with Calm, like the Calm app already. Feels like it's right there. And again, I'm not saying it's bad that he meditates. I think it's great. I'm kind of speaking to what you're talking about. The second any prospect does anything that's not like football, 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 everyone's like, God, do you believe this? Can you understand? He plays chess, like with his hands. Like everyone like pounces on it like it's the most ridiculous thing ever. I'm fascinated with the JJ McCarthy discourse. We talked about it a little bit last week. It seemed at all the betting apps, he's a shoe-in to go early, like top 5. I just don't see it. That's insane to me. If I could short it, I would. But, you know, if Jake Locker could go like top 10, then why not JJ McCarthy? Let's go. I want to do, you know, that's our source of cut. I want to kind of segue here because we're talking about JJ McCarthy going early, going late. Is he gonna be stuck in the green room? You mentioned Joe Thomas fishing with his dad. I wanted to mock draft in honor of the draft, like the most disrespectful actions, things, events in sports to occur. And I think this isn't like a great example, but I feel like maybe it can kind of inform what we're talking about. I think a prospect being invited to the green room, but not actually getting drafted in the first round, it's not like intentionally disrespectful to anyone. So it doesn't quite count for what we're mock drafting, but I do think it's a thing that super sucks. And it does give the player the feeling of disrespect, you know?
I will never forget until I can't remember it anymore when Brady Quinn came out from behind that curtain that was like where they were keeping the Fritos and Cheetos and all that stuff. Yeah. and his tie was untied, you know, loosened up at the neck. His shirt was unbuttoned because he looked so good. He looked so jacked going into it. And he was just devastated.
Looked like a wilted flower, you know.
And that was his NFL career played like one right too, there.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. No, he didn't stop it. He was actually pretty good.
I'm trying to think if there's some, I don't know who all is going to be in attendance. So let's assume everyone's going to be there. Who do you have someone most likely to be in the green room, but not be drafted in the first round? Because I mean, JJ McCarthy would have been my pick. There's so much smoke on him going early. I don't know if that's the one. I would say you got to look at Michael Penix.
Yes. If I'm him, I don't show up.
What's the upside? If you're on the fringe, what's the upside of being there?
Because the second the other quarterbacks go, you know, for the entertainment value of showing it on TV, they're going to keep showing you because you're the only other quarterback. If I'm him, I absolutely don't go. That is who I was going to say for the record. But yeah, I hope he's not there.
I just think like if it's even remotely, like if I'm Marvin Harrison Jr., why go? What's the point? I know like the celebration, everything, that's part of it, but I'm kind of like, I would just rather be with my people. But I'm a classic introvert, so that's probably a bad correlation. So, okay, so we're going to mock draft. It's not going to be snake draft because there's only two people, but we're going to talk about most disrespectful actions in sports. A lot of latitude here. I'm interested to see what you bring to the table. Jason, what's your first pick?
All right, my first pick is when in baseball, they bring in the reliever that's already done his whole warm-up thing. And sometimes he like throws one pitch. And then like it's a single or it's an out or ground out or, you know, something not dramatic.
Yeah.
And then they pull him. Now, sometimes it's just one batter and I get like lefty, righty, righty, lefty matchups and all that. But still, if you're a reliever, middle reliever, reliever, and you get all warmed up and then you come out and you face like one batter. And then somebody comes out and gets the ball. I get it. I understand like the, you know, money ball of it all. I think that is so disrespectful. And I don't remember.
To the reliever.
To the reliever. Yeah.
Yeah. You're saying it's not like, if it's not like lefty on lefty or like this guy kills this hitter, if it's just like, no, we're bringing him in to like go a few innings and he gives up single and they immediately yank him. That's the most disrespectful thing.
Yeah. And I think that there is also like, they might change the rules. Like there's a minimum amount of pitches, minimum amount of batter's face. I don't know if that's at MLB or lower levels. I'm saying before that rule, okay?
Yeah.
When you would see somebody warm up, come in, warm up on the mound, and then face one batter, and then get pulled, I don't care about the matchups of it. I think that is so freaking disrespectful.
I love it. I love a good... I don't like gratuitous disrespect. I like gamesmanship disrespect, because I feel like that's earned, and it also gives opportunity to like prove me wrong here, right? It's why I noticed this in the playoffs. This is what precipitated wanting to talk about this for the episode. I noticed in the playoffs, particularly with the Knicks have this habit of getting wide open dunks. And not only are they wide open, they're so wide open, like it's the power slam. And then you swing your lower body into the air to where your nuts are almost on a defender's face. That to me is the number one draft pick most disrespectful thing when you're hanging on a rim. And it can be like, I'm gliding my nuts to your face, or it can be, I'm swinging these things up so it can be right on your face. I don't know how you beat that. That is so disrespectful to me.
I mean, obviously, there was always the Shaq one. I can't remember who was on. It was like, maybe not Kurt Rambis, but
it was whoever. A poor, tall, white guy who was so offended that he responded by
what you're
throwing a basketball at Shaq, right? And then Shaq responded by throwing a punch that, if he would have connected, would have murdered this person.
It was the Jermaine O'Neal turtle punch. It was the same thing. Glad it missed. But in that dunk that you're describing from the Knicks and from Shaq, they do
Chris
it
Dudley.
In
a, Chris Dudley was
Chris
the guy,
Dudley. Okay,
which is the worst white guy name ever, to be honest with you.
Well, there's also a Jared Dudley who's not white. So
yeah, that's a fine name, Chris Dudley.
But he's a goofy guy, so that's good.
Yeah.
But the mentality of, hey, when they land, they put their hands up like, I was just trying not to land on the person, but I definitely swung my junk directly at them and put it on their shoulder and then slid down the side of their body. But I was trying not to land on anybody.
Sorry for gravity. Not my fault. It's intensely disrespectful. But it's like, hey, don't get dunked on like that. You know, don't let that happen. Okay, what's your next pick?
I'm going to stay in the world of basketball. And it's one thing to get subbed in just for defense. You see this a lot in college. It depends on how fouls are going. You see this in college where, all right, we're at the offensive end, and then there's a timeout or a ball stoppage or whatever. We sub in the defenders, and then we go and play in defense, and now we're going back the other way. I think that that's really rude to only sub, because you're just telling the person,
yeah,
not only do I not trust you on offense,
yeah,
I specifically don't want you on offense.
Can't have you there. Can't do it. Can't risk it.
The worst cousin to that is being subbed in just to foul. Like, hey, the brochure says, you know, the program says you're on the team. So that means you've got 5 or 6 fouls. I need you to go in there and foul somebody and then come right back out of the game. And I think that that is so disrespectful. Again, to gamesmanship. But if you're that person on the end of the bench and you come in and you just like wrap somebody up and then you walk right off, that is so disrespectful to me. I can't stand like,
it's not great.
Not everybody on the court has 4 or 5 fouls. 5 in college fouls you out. 6 in pros fouls you out. So not everybody on the court has 4 or 5 fouls. We can use other fouls on the court. I get it. The problem's overtime, et cetera, et cetera. But I think that that is so disrespectful when my man at the end of the bench has to take off all of his warmups, go in there, wrap somebody up that takes the inbounds, and then can come right back to the bench.
Then get subbed out for your offense because your offense sucks. It's very inter. I like that we're covered. Like you're kind of inter team disrespect, and I'm exterior team disrespect because the other one I wanted to mention was I think when I'll say in basketball, when you leave someone open on a 3-pointer.
Oh my like, gosh.
Like, what they do with like Draymond or any number of people where it's like, no, Maxie go ahead. Kleber. Shoot it. I'll stay 15 feet off you. I want you to do this. That is super duper disrespectful because it's a cousin to like the James Harden or the Dame Lillard. Like I shook you so bad you fell over.
And then
so
you look at dribble. Him and then you shoot.
But, yeah. But I feel like the degree it's complicated because you got to hit the 3. Or it's all wash. You're disrespected now, right?
That was the problem with Ben Simmons, is that they would leave him open like that all the time, and then he would just keep dribbling around. He didn't even take the shot.
That's what you have to either start hitting the 3s or quit. And he chose to just quit basketball, which, you know, that's a choice that he made. But that is, that's one where it's like, prove me wrong, hit the 3, but I don't think you can, and I want you to take it. What else?
If the person makes it, is it disrespectful to the defender? Like,
no.
Does it reverse?
There's an equilibrium shift, right?
Okay.
Like it's balanced out. I'm challenging you with disrespect, and now I have to respect you because you've earned it. You hit the shot.
Mine are all inner team. My next one is you get benched. So I think it was Andrew Luck coming back from a shoulder surgery or whatever it was, and then they would bring Jacoby Brissett in to throw the Hail Marys.
Oh, yeah.
This is
Michael Bishop during the Patriots heyday where he had just a cannon arm. They're like, you're only Hail Marys. That's it. That's all you do.
Who? Bishop?
Michael Bishop from K-State.
Oh, I don't even remember this.
Ryan Mallett would do this too from time to time.
I remember Mallett, RIP, but this is disrespectful to both quarterbacks because it's A, telling one quarterback, this is probably the only play you're going to play. And we only need you in here because we don't want to get the starter injured. But then it's also telling the starter, hey, come on over to the bench. We don't believe you can throw the ball 40 yards in the air. So it's disrespectful to both parties. I don't think anybody. Why do they do that? Because the percentages are so low, and now both quarterbacks feel like crap. Like, how is that good for the team?
Both feel like crap. You've cucked your starting quarterback, so he's like, I could have got it to the 10. That's close enough, isn't it? So it's just a net. And like, what are the odds of success? Probably pretty low. My next one, I've got let's go to baseball. When you got a hitter at the plate, and the coach does the everybody scoot in. Everybody scoot in. Hey, center, especially come on in. 10 big steps.
If you've got it ahead of time that when this batter comes up, everybody scoots 2 feet in. Like there are players in the field now wearing wristbands that say what the shift they're supposed to do. But when the coach comes out, bring it in. Like, and it's just everybody moving in 5 to 7 feet. That is a power move by the coach. I wonder if anybody's ever hit a home run in that situation.
No,
I don't think so. Because that is demoralizing.
It is. It's tough. I would say for professionals, you can just say it what it is. Everyone scoot in. I need everyone in on like the edge of the infield grass. For kids, I do think you need like a code word because why do we got to do that to kids? You know, some of them are just out there like trying to get some exercise and like some
Kool-Aid man.
Yeah. Jaguar. That's everyone knows. and he can see everyone scooting in, but you're not like
Knox is on his Jaguar stuff again. Here we go. Starting early this year.
I have one more. Let me throw it that those at you. Let me tell me if this is disrespectful or not. When bowling with someone, and
this one already sounds personal.
When bowling and they roll a shot and it like kind of drifts and only hits two, and the other person says like, "Oh man, that was so close to dead center," and then they all would have come down, you know? Like trying to like, do you make someone feel better or do you just let it be? Like, yeah, you basically guttered there.
That's very close, because when you hit just one pin in bowling, it's I'd rather it just go in the gutter.
Because the noise, it's just like, and like that's it. There's no crash, there's no thunder. It's just like boom. And that's it. It's a really bad look.
Gosh, I'm having flashbacks now to bowling situations. And I was in a bowling league for a couple of years. Not a big deal.
Look at you.
I have my own ball. But when you
spin,
hit just the
spin guy, straight ahead. Spin guy?
I'm learning the spin, but it hurts my arm a ton to do it. So I'm not certain that I'm doing it correctly, but I can't.
So you're going to get the Gronk arm brace and do the spin at your local bowling alley?
I don't think you can spin with that Gronk arm brace, but we were watching some bowling the other day. They have teams now, team versus team.
I love it.
Anyways, but when you bowl and you're in a bowling league and you hit that right pin or that left pin in the back, you don't look up. You don't turn around and look at your team.
Okay.
And that is I know we're not doing saddest moments in sports, but that is one of the saddest moments where you're just like, I need my ball to come back through the return. And like, of course, that's the time that it gets stuck. And now you got to use a different ball, like a house ball or something. Like, that is so sad. And the amount of disrespect that you know is going on from your team to you, but you can't acknowledge it because it's not their fault. It's your fault.
So, okay, I think you've helped me answer this, because it's not on me to make you feel better. I can just be silent. I don't have to like shape this for you.
Everyone needs to stay silent.
Okay. Okay. I do feel a lot of pressure. We'll bowl with family, like around holidays. And I feel the pressure to comment on every single shot, because like they're coming back and they're looking, and I feel like I've got to make every shot feel like that was so good. That was so close. Oh my gosh. You're right on, basically. And
in lore of your family, are you known as a bowler and you've just got to live up to it? What's going on here?
Oh, not me. I'm trying to help everybody else. Oh. I mean, yeah. Am I high score pretty much consistently? Yeah. But like, I'm not trying to like talk about that. Like, you brought that up.
Say a number. What's the high score average for you?
I mean, you know, I don't put the spin on it. I don't have my own ball. I wasn't like a bowling league. I want to say, cause I texted you and Andre and I was just like, V chill, like 160, no big deal. But you know, that's just kind of where
240 is my average.
That's good stuff, man.
I'm kidding. It's like 150.
I would have believed it. I would have believed it. You know, I had a couple of hot games. I strung together some spares and some strikes, you know, the numbers compound. I don't know what to tell you, but I feel the need to like comment on everybody's in a positive way, and I don't want to do that. But
where do you get that social pressure from? Like,
it's a family. I don't know.
Everybody does like a really bad job. You don't have to comment every time, because you're gonna get,
because then I start thinking like, is this super condescending?
Yes.
Where like I'm having a good round, and I'm like, oh, almost got it, bud.
No, it's not about your round. It's like you're like, oh, right there, and they got like four, and then the next time they get five, and then they get six. Your commentary can't escalate. So that's the best bowl I've ever seen, because they went up 20% in pins.
Well,
so you're putting yourself in this.
Everything's
putting yourself in this vortex, man.
And it feels a little bit like when a team has the ball, they're running the clock out. They won't score to put you out of your misery, but they're just marching.
Yeah,
that feels like, no, that's respectful. They're not going to punch it in. That almost feels disrespectful.
Right.
It's just like, okay, just punt, kick, field goal, score, whatever. Don't do this thing where you're like, you're running 8 yards a pop. It's absurd right now. Okay, I feel good about that mock draft. I feel like we captured all the disrespectful moments. All right, let's wrap up here with Cameo Close to the Pin. I believe you are up 4-2. Yeah, 4.
Yep.
Yeah, 4-2. 4-2, so I got to make a go of this. We're going to pick Mike Golic. He used to be part of the ESPN draft coverage. I honestly don't know what he's doing now. Hope he's well. Hope he's happy.
DraftKings Network or something? He's somewhere doing something.
Okay, so we're gonna guess Mike Golic. I know Mike Greenberg, I think he's gonna be like hosting the draft coverage this year. The former co-pilot of Mike and Mike in the Morning, a formative radio show in my time.
Let's only refer to Mike Greenberg as Mike Greenberg, formerly of Mike and Mike.
Okay. Mike Greeny Greenberg.
Because he's doing like 19 things now. He's somehow the number one person behind the number two person behind Stephen A. Smith. I don't think he's good. I like Golic way better. I know that's not been everybody's take, but
that is, I'm going to give you a minute to get your mittens on, because that is a hot, hot take you've got right there.
I think we've done this before. You're taking Greenberg over Golic.
Yeah. I need someone who can keep time and like move us along. Golic's like a foraging dinosaur, you know?
You just bowled and hit one pin, and here's my comment. It's okay. It's okay. We'll get him.
Who's the one ESPN kept and paid is my question. You know what I mean?
The wrong one.
Oh, fair enough. Fair enough. All right. So Mike Golic, I really would love to know if he's doing the draft coverage, because that would inform my guess a little bit.
I don't know what network it would be for. It's probably CBS.
Do you have your number?
Yeah.
I do. I have mine too. I feel like I'm hovering. I'm starting to find myself hovering in range for every single guest. And I don't, being down 4-2, I don't know if that's a good thing or if we're splitting hairs and I'm just barely missing.
I'm also hovering in a range. However, that being said, the track record does not say that I'm guessing in that range. I start at a certain number and then I kind of go up. Or if I think it's real fancy, I start at a different number. Or if I think it's not fancy, I start at a third number. And then I kind of go from there.
So maybe this is behind the curtain too much. Maybe this is proprietary information you don't want to reveal, and that's okay. Are you finding yourself going like, I'm considering their past performance and like wealth creation expectation? I'm considering like their heat right now. Like, are you putting all that together? Or are you just going like off vibes?
Mostly vibes, but yes, some of that. But like for this season of the six we've done so far, John from the Traders, Parvati, Berge, Miles Brennan, Kate Chastain, Brad Calipari, we've you know, some creative editing. We've not been able to find the biggest names associated with what we've been talking about. So this has been kind of a different crowd that might be a little bit thirstier for these numbers, but then sometimes we've been wrong about that.
Okay, that makes me not love my guess, but I have written it down, so it is final.
My guess is $100.
Okay, I wanted to do 75. I thought you'd be there too, so I was working between 74 and 76. I wish I'd done 76 now. Well, it doesn't matter because you're 100.
I think it's triple digits. I think it's like 150 or higher. And I thought you were going to do I thought you were going to do 99. I almost did 101 because of it.
See, I'm like, radio guy, he made some good money. He's still making good money. He was in the NFL. I don't know that he needs this, right? That's kind of the primary like triple digit.
I know, but like that's what we've learned sometimes is the guys that don't need it end up being triple digits or more because they're like, I don't need it. So it's got to be worth it for me to take the time.
I feel like a golfer right now. And I'm just like analyzing every part of my swing. And I'm like, I just need to go up and swing and not like think about it too much. You know what I mean? Okay. Michael Golic, senior, not junior. You can have him for $75.
Oh, dang it.
He has a 4.99 rating. He is sporting a very substantial goatee. And he does have like a big boomer energy of like bad angle on the camera. But he's averaging, you know, 3 minutes, minute and a half for these cameos.
I thought they were about to say 3 stars. I was like, oh no, what's going on here?
No, I'm sorry. He actually averages 2 minutes for, they give you that info. Thanks again, Mike. The video is very well done. Brendan loved the video. Thank you again for your time. That's too many thankings.
That's not.
Thanks Why again, Mike.
You don't have to do this. Yeah, this is like the bowling critiques. You don't have to do this right now.
You don't have to also affirm him. That's what the money's for. You know what I mean?
You can thank somebody.
Mike absolutely nailed it on a difficult ask. Right mix of humor and seriousness. The recipient loved it. I want to know what this ask was. And
no,
what
I don't.
Referring to them as a recipient.
Don't. No.
That's from Smitty. It's a pep talk. Feels like Smitty's friend's wife cheated on him, and only Mike Golic can fix this. Okay, that's going to do it for this episode of the Over Underachievers. Before we go, we'd like to encourage you to spread the word about the show by tweeting, Instagramming, or just talking about it loud around other people you know. It's the best way to help us out, and it makes you look like a genius because of what great taste you have. As always, I'm Knox. He's Jason. We'll see you next time. Bad.